My lecture is on a third chapter of the Gospel of Mark. Now, most of what I have to say has been gathered from many commentators and studies of others, such as Mathis, Keller, and Cole. It relates a conflict over healing on the Sabbath, the commissioning of 12 apostles, a conflict with scribes, and a meeting of Jesus with his own family. As I've read and reread this chapter, the word motive came to my mind. What was said or done and why? Lisa mentioned she enjoys stories with a quest. I enjoy stories where mysteries are solved. Discovering the who, when, why, and discovering the motive. So let's review these events and characters to see who and why. The Jewish leaders were watching Jesus closely, not to hear his message. Their motive was to find fault with Jesus to be able to accuse him. The Sabbath controversies play a major key in this goal. As in chapter 2, they once again confront him on their expounded rules, their traditions for the Sabbath. Jesus once again brings them back to God's purpose, to love God and your neighbor, as in Deuteronomy 6:5. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And in Leviticus 19, the second half of verse 18 says, love your neighbors as yourself. And Mark chapter 4, verses 28 to 31 read, one of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked, of all the commandments, which is the most important? The most important one, answered Jesus, is this, hear, O Israel. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. The Lord your God, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There's no commandment greater than these. Now, Jesus was very angered by their hard hearts. And I love the quote that was in our study questions from Tim Keller from the book King's Cross. Why does Jesus become angry with the religious leaders? Because the Sabbath is about restoring the diminished. It's about replenishing the drained. It's about repairing the broken. To heal the man's shriveled hand is to do exactly what the Sabbath is all about. Yet because the leaders are so concerned that Sabbath regulations be observed, they don't want Jesus to heal this man. An incredible example of missing the forest of the trees. Their hearts are as shriveled as the man's hand. Later in this chapter, in verses 22 to 30, the scribes tried to stir the crowd, accusing Jesus of being possessed by Beelzebub and by the prince of demons. As teachers of God's people, they're now drawing them away from the truth by declaring the power at work in Jesus, given by God, is the power of Satan. I'm astounded with all this public opposition, crowds still followed Jesus, not just in Galilee, but from Judea down to Idiom, all the way across the Jordan, up to Tyre, up to Sidon. That's a long way. And this is before days of internet, instant messaging, Twitter, emails, TV, even the radio. The news of Jesus' healing spread. Many were motivated to leave their home and family, travel for days, not by car, not by train, not by plane, to be healed, to just be able to touch him and be healed. During a discussion in one of our women's Bible study groups, it was pointed out about the healing. It was pointed out that they were completely restored. No surgery, no healing from surgery, no weeks of physical therapy, and no months of recuperation. Restored. I have a coworker who this summer of 2021 jammed her finger grabbing a rail the wrong way on a bus, tearing ligaments, breaking her bone. She had to have surgery and several months of physical therapy, then another corrective surgery and more months of physical therapy, and still cannot bend her finger today. Imagine to be healed instantly without all that fuss. Restored. News of this miracle worker who spoke with authority, could cast out demons and heal, motivated many crippled, diseased, and demon-possessed to seek him out. They came in throngs, such that Jesus had to have a boat ready lest they crush him. Demons identified Jesus but were silenced, as their testimony could not be trusted. Commentators stated their motivation was to render him harmless, to control him and strip him of his power, in accordance that knowledge of the precise name or quality of a person confers mastery over him. Jesus's mothers and brothers wanted to take charge of him. I'd like to think their motive was to protect him. He got little sleep, little food, and had crowds pushing at him. But in verse 21, it reads, they thought he was out of his mind. John 7:5 shows his own brothers did not believe him during his earthly ministry. But in Acts 1:14, it shows that afterwards, some were numbered among the church. Jesus responds to each of these with authority to fulfill his Father's plan. He is Lord of the Sabbath and upholds God's intention for the Sabbath. He has bound the strong man, Satan, and plunders his goods, us. He teaches all sins can be forgiven except blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. Now, Matthew expounds on this and has an extra part from what Mark wrote in Matthew 12:32. It reads, anyone who speaks against the Son of Man, will be forgiven, but anyone who speaks against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven, either in this age or in the age to come. They were in a very dangerous place. An attitude of such hardness of the heart to attribute the working of God's Spirit to Satan. I found comfort not that there is such a sin, but there's the Holy Spirit. How remarkable. God has not left us to ourselves in the ups and downs of life. As he did with his own son in his full humanity, he makes available to us the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit. Matthew 12:28 says, but if it is by the Spirit of God that I drive out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. The demons knew who he was, and Jesus had authority to silence them. He has full authority, including over Satan. How amazing, the same Spirit who empowered Jesus in his earthly life on the path to his sacrificial death has been given to us today. Romans 8:9 says, you, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If, in fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you, anyone who does not have the Spirit of God, a Spirit of Christ, does not belong to him. Jesus has compassion for those he was healing and does not lose focus on what he came to do, to preach the gospel, as we read in chapter 1, verse 38. Crowds left their home and traveled for days to be with Jesus. He had pity, showed mercy, and had compassion. He publicly asked the man to stand up in front of everyone. He was healed openly, not to bring humiliation, but to demonstrate the power of God. In verses 13 to 19, Jesus called the 12 disciples. This is the second time he called them, chapter 1 and now in chapter 3. And the first thing he appointed them to do was simply spend time with him. This came first. By spending time with Jesus, we can learn the truths of God and our character can be transformed as we grow in faith. This required a major sacrifice on the disciples' part. To truly spend time with Jesus, they couldn't spend time doing things they had done before. In addition to their jobs, they gave up time with family, with friends, as well as their personal time. Quite simply, they could not spend the time required to be with Jesus and keep living the same type of life they had before. Now, although Mark continues to establish Jesus' credentials, this chapter brought a challenge to me. Am I with him or against him? What's my motivation? To fulfill my agenda and needs, or to do God's will? To share the gospel confident in the power of the Holy Spirit in me and my eternal destiny? 1 John 4, 7 to 12 reads, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us." I am challenged daily to check my motivations, which are more in line with God's nature the more I sit at Jesus' feet. Talk to him, listen, and learn from his word. This is a daily, intentional attitude, and I battle and wrestle with it. Last May, I had a wonderful opportunity to watch my youngest daughter's two children, Nikki, who was 3, and Alana, who was 20 months, while she and her husband and his family went to Arizona for a family wedding. Now, I used to hear women say, "This is why we have children when we're young." I received full impact of that statement, caring, chasing, and entertaining these two little ones for 8 days. Although quite enamored with these beautiful, active little ones, I was exhausted at the end of each day, quite ready to fall into bed and rest. Approximately day 5, I had put Alana to bed and was struggling with Nikki to finish his dinner before his bedtime. I tried everything, even setting the timer, which he usually responds to well. This evening, he would not cooperate. And about half hour before past his bedtime, I informed him he had to go to bed without finishing his dinner. He began the most horrific screaming. No amount of pleading would stop him, and being tired and afraid he would wake his sister, I threatened him, "If you don't stop that screaming, I'm going to slap your face." His screaming ceased immediately. Shocked, he just looked at me and then walked into the bathroom and did his toiletries. After getting his pajamas on, my heart was still hurting from what I had said. Now, before reading his story in prayer, I asked Nikki, with tears in my eyes, it's easy for me, please forgive me for saying that to you, because Nana would never hit you. This 3-year-old said to me, no, Nana, I'm sorry for not listening to you. My initial motivation was to get some much needed rest. The Holy Spirit stirred my heart and would not let this teaching moment go by. And my grandson and I were able to ask and receive forgiveness and pray together for Thanksgiving. God's love abides in us. And because he has forgiven us, we can give forgiveness to others. Because he loves us, we can love others. The Spirit is always at work in my heart, causing me to check my motivations. If only I would heed it more often. Jesus spent time alone with his disciples, and he sent them out to share the gospel. These two things were happening simultaneously, spending time with him and sharing the gospel. Jesus said in verse 5, whoever does the will of God is part of God's family. Let us not be motivated by our own agendas, but through the Spirit, let us be motivated by the will of God, desiring to love God, love others, and share the gospel. Last Sunday, we were shorthanded in Kids Life Sunday School. Nadine mentioned to me how amazing it was that two people stopped in just to see if she could use any help. The Spirit prompted them, they listened, and were a blessing to Nadine. I'd like to close with a story about my dad, if I can get through it. On a number of occasions, I was embarrassed by my dad's persistence to share God's gift of salvation with everyone he came in contact with. He would have a gospel tract ready at a moment's notice to hand to someone and say, God loves you, or do you know Jesus? I felt this uncomfortable, even embarrassing at times, when he would just walk up to somebody in a store or in a restaurant. I used to think they put up with this interruption because he was a cute old man. I couldn't do that. Now, I know I've told this story before, but I want to share with you now to show what my dad's motivation was. When my dad was at home with me on hospice with a brain tumor, his last words to me were, Bon, I'm tired. I'm going to go to sleep now. Thinking he meant for the night, I said, it's okay, Dad. And I tucked him in. He gently grabbed my hand and stated again, I'm going to sleep now. Please don't let anyone go to sleep without Jesus. My dad went to be with the Lord the next day. My dad was motivated to spend time with Jesus, love others, and share the gospel with everyone he met. Now, I might not walk up to every stranger, but I try to be sharing the gospel through the love God has given me, for Christ suffered and died for everyone's sins. I want to listen, hear, and act on the Spirit's push to share God's love with others, whether it's to my children, my grandchildren, coworkers, neighbors, or a stranger, be it by asking forgiveness, offering forgiveness, offering kindness, compassion, or help. Because Christ first loved us so much that he gave himself for our sins, that we might have eternal life. Let us pray. Dear God, do not allow our hearts to harden, but abide in you and you in us. Thank you for giving us the Holy Spirit to empower, guide, protect, and motivate us daily to love others with kindness and compassion and share your gospel through word and deed. For this is your will. Amen. Thank you. And thank God I got through that without coughing. Thank you for your prayer.